This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hello, history fans. Tony Hubert here with you. Armand Kachigian, my partner. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm.
Don't confine us to history fans.
No. We have fans of all sorts. Yeah. Armand?
Anti-socialists, anti-global warming.
May I congratulate you? And may I congratulate myself? This Day in
Just
History.
Just congratulate me.
Had its biggest week of downloads ever last week.
Did we get our millionth yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got to give that... Give a special prize.
Well, I can't determine who the millionth listener was, but...
Give a Victoria Cross.
If we could find one.
Give it to me.
Yeah, I think there's some... little bit of canon left from that...
From Sebastopol.
From Sebastopol.
I don't know what they make the Croix de Guerre out of. Probably... Who knows what, those Frenchmen.
So
hey, what about that election?
I was going to say.
It's good for the market.
April 24th.
I think...
Hold on now. Let me set the scene.
Who cares? We're not asking for you. Well, I guess I did ask for
you. We're going to have a runoff in France. We're going to have
Macron
versus Le Pen.
Yeah, well, he's way ahead. That's why the market's up there. Everybody thinks he's going to kick the shit out of her. But I don't know about that.
The top four came in all very close. 23, 22, 19, and I think 18.
All right, answer me this. How do either one of these two, it's a parliamentarian country, neither of these two have any seats in the parliament.
I know.
How are they going to rule? I don't get it. What are they going to do?
I got to get into the ins and outs of how they form a government. So I was talking with my we have a French foreign exchange family, their daughter has lived with us.
Send them back where they came from.
No, they're over in France. They're back in Dijon.
Oh, good.
We were talking yesterday. I said, "What do you make of
mustard seeds?
What do you make of this?" They said the same thing. You know, there's a mustard museum in Dijon. I'm not kidding.
There would be.
There is. I said, what do you make of this? And he said, Macron.
We take horseradish around here.
Exactly. Well, we do live next to the horseradish capital of the world, the American Bottoms, where the land is best suited to develop a hot and spicy vegetable.
Piquant. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He thinks, my friend Laurent Morlaix thinks.
What's his name?
Laurent.
Oh, Laurent.
Laurent. Mr. Morlaix.
Monsieur Morlaix.
He feels Macron will win fairly convincingly, about 65-35 percentage-wise.
I don't think so.
To which I say, no American would buy that for a second.
Yeah. Good luck. Well, this guy, I don't know much about this guy, but he's like 39 years old, has no experience whatsoever, apparently.
He has seven step-grandchildren at the age of 39. How about that? He married someone 20 years his elder.
Oh.
Mm. He trends older, Armand.
Yeah, so do I. So yeah. I can't.
You have a lot in common.
Yeah, I can't. My ex-girlfriend's 71 now. She'll turn 71.
If you're ever going to have grandchildren, it's going to be of the step variety.
No kidding.
So you and Macron have a lot in common.
Now, I got more in common with Hollande.
Speaking of weddings
France. Wait a minute. We got a couple things to iron out here. Last week I talked about The Pumpkin Eaters, which was written by... I think it was John Mortimer's wife.
Okay.
The screenplay. I said Albert Finney was in it. It was Peter Finch and Anne Bancroft. It's still a terrible movie. Don't see it. We were wondering about the Pulsar name with the plus after.
Yes, the plus.
That's the declination angle, apparently.
Okay, because the Pulsar were the first.
So there's a minus or a plus.
Two extra solar planets were found.
Yeah. But there's a plus
was,
in the name.
Was PSR, then its number, and I forget the number.
Well, I think it was. I think the number was the year was discovered or something, and then that plus.
Then it was a plus. Yeah, this one.
12 or
was
something.
Was 12, yes. Yeah, it was a plus 12. Angle. It's a declination angle.
Right.
Okay.
I guess compared to the ecliptic. So.
All right.
That's
some good research, Armand.
Method
Thank
to
you.
Their madness over there at NASA or wherever the hell they discovered.
Well, this show here brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. Whenever we have a book recommendation, and we will, or a film recommendation, and Armand certainly will, we will give it to you, tell you where to get it on our website, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Click on the Amazon banner or the Audible banner and go get yourself set up. All right, 1558, we've got a wedding at Notre Dame in Paris. Who's getting married? Well, none other than a Scotswoman.
Well, one of the Queen of the Scots.
The Queen of the Scots marries the Dauphin of France.
Dauphin. The Dauphin.
Dauphin?
Dauphin.
Dauphin.
Don't pronounce the N.
No N.
No.
Whose name, by the way, is Francois.
Or Francis.
No, I like
She called him Frank.
Frank?
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, that didn't last long. The guy died like 2 years later.
Yeah.
He was married to Medici's son.
Oh,
and Henry II. You know how his dad died?
They married well, didn't they? Holy smoke.
Yeah, well, his dad didn't joust well. He died in a jousting accident.
See, he never joust.
See, Prince is a dumb shit for taking drugs. You're king. Don't joust.
Don't joust. Don't do it.
And then,
how can you imagine? You're the queen. You're Mary Queen of Scots. And guess what? You get to have a wedding at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Was it William III, like his horse hit a mole or something and tripped and broke his neck or something? I don't know. I think it was William III. Anyway, don't get on your – stay off your horse.
Do that as well. Yeah, stay off the horse.
Anyway, so she liked – well, she didn't marry well. Lord Darnley was next, of course. She's one of our favorites on this show, and she married Lord Darnley.
She got
kind of a pussy.
She had some traffic, huh?
Yeah, but
Is that a polite way to put it?
She was screwing around with Rizzio, her secretary.
Secretary,
who was stabbed like 57 times.
Just to make sure.
By Lord Darnley.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stabbed him real good.
Real good.
Anyway, this guy died, I think he was young. He was not very old, and he had died of, they don't know if it was mastoiditis, meningitis.
Ooh.
Or, yeah, it could have been, just been polio.
Yeah.
Or it could have just poisoned him.
That too. That'll work.
Anyway, you got probably an infection. You know, mastoid is that bone right around your ear.
Yeah, no, my son.
You don't want that.
My
infected.
Son had a crack in his mastoid.
That's painful.
And you know, the big concern was the set in of infection.
Yeah, that and TMJ and all that stuff later.
You know, so even though he was recovering well, you know, you had to keep an eye on him for symptoms of, you know, you don't
meningitis.
Want that. You don't want the meningitis setting in. All right.
Especially in the 16th century.
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't think she was too sad about him going.
No.
This was basically a, you know, wedding of Catholics, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the idea.
I don't know what that means, the wedding of Catholics, but.
Well, if the country, they wanted Scotland to remain Catholic,
Catholics,
you know, because she had John Knox.
I thought
to worry
it
about.
Meant because they wanted to get it on, they needed to get married.
No. It was John.
Or that she was already pregnant because she'd been using the rhythm cycle.
She's worried about John Knox, you know. He's calling her a bitch and everything. he didn't like her.
She's got problems.
Throwing things at her, yeah.
Okay, the first newspaper regularly published in the Americas.
Oh, yeah.
The Boston News Letter, published on this date, 24th of April, 1704. That's the first one to come up in British colonial America.
Probably socialism.
How do you know?
Because it's Boston.
Oh, okay. The Library of Congress, speaking about writing and in books, papers. Well, John Adams gives a little appropriation, $5,000, in fact, to purchase such books as may be necessary for the use of Congress.
For what? Anyway, Jefferson gave like all his whole collection, like 7,000 books. Much more.
Did they pay TJ the $5,000 and call it a day, or
I don't know if it's I don't know if they paid him anything. Didn't he just?
I thought he donated them.
Yeah, it was donation, wasn't it?
But, and what congressman reads a book even then?
No, are you kidding? Nobody.
Nobody.
But I think it's they claim to be the largest library in the world.
Well,
right?
I think it is now.
Yeah, but who cares now? Now you just go on the internet. Who needs it?
Right. The largest library in the world is now at your fingertips.
All right. Well, if the British invade again, they'll burn it down, so that'll be fine.
I don't know.
It'll go up.
In 1885, were you a fan of Annie Oakley when you were young? Did you ever go watch the High School Musicals? Everyone seemed to do it.
Oh, Annie?
Annie Get Your Gun.
Annie Get Your Gun?
Yeah.
It was all right.
Anyway.
The movie was okay. Betty Hutton?
I think so. 1885, April the 24th, she's hired by one Nate Salisbury. And what she's going to do is join Buffalo Bill's Wild West show.
Yeah.
That is something I would have liked to have seen.
That might have been okay.
Yeah. That sounds watching like
her,
fun.
Watching her shoot the cigarette out of some king's mouth.
How do you think they did that?
Who'd she shoot at? Some king, was it? I don't know.
I mean, do you think they did that for real, or was it really?
She was like unbelievable.
I get it that she was.
She married the guy that's like, you know, that she outshot. What's his name? I think I wrote it down.
Wow.
Frank Butler. Yeah, she outshot him.
Anything else you want to share about Annie?
She was a Quaker.
She was a Quaker?
Yeah. Her real name
I never knew that.
Phoebe Ann Moses.
Phoebe Ann Moses.
And she was adopted daughter of Sitting Bull. Kind of had a thing for her.
Did Sitting Bull give her a tribal name, a Sioux name, or a Lakota name?
I hope not. She's one of us. Anyway, she sued William Randolph Hearst. Get a load of this. He runs this. He runs this story in a newspaper.
I like her more and more already.
Yeah, you would. But yeah, this is a little. I don't have any problem with the guy as portrayed by Orson Welles. But anybody screwing Marion Davies can't be all bad. But
no,
he ran a. Ran a story in his paper that she had stolen somebody's pair of pants from a guy,
yeah,
or somewhere, a store or whatever, to pay for her cocaine habit in Chicago. Well, she proved she hadn't been in Chicago in years. It turns out it was some burlesque dancer that was posing as Annie Oakley. That was part of her act.
Pretty good act.
And she got like $25,000 out of it, which was big money back then. Yeah.
She didn't deny the cocaine, though.
Yeah.
That she was in Chicago, right?
Hey, listen, whatever makes you shoot straighter, go ahead. I don't think Annie took coke. Yeah, that would make you kind of jittery.
I don't know. Maybe she needed it to get even or something. I don't know.
Methamphetamine.
I am amazed by sharpshooters, though. It is
one of the sharpest.
Truly a gift. I mean,
she's like 8 years old. She said her best shot was like her first shot. She shot a squirrel in the head, saved it. You know, didn't to the body. You know, they could eat the meat.
With that musket. That's impressive. I used to shoot pellet all the time, and
I used to shoot craps.
Oh, yeah? How'd you do? Not too good.
I won $10, but they didn't give me the money.
Yeah, they didn't give you the money. One time, Armand, my best shot ever, have no idea how it happened, shot a pellet gun, hit the bird right in the head. The bird is on a branch, and it literally did a 180 and hung upside down.
Oh, a passerine.
Is that what that's called?
Well, passerine is a bird that, is on, what do they call it? It has the things that keep it on the. It's a perching bird.
Yeah, it's okay, a perching bird. Right. It was a blackbird.
Okay.
Or in one of those filthy.
Why don't you just go into falconry? You don't have to shoot anything. Or, well, you don't have to any. Windmills will kill them all anyway, so why are we even shooting anything?
1895, first person that's going to sail single-handedly around the world. He goes from Boston, Massachusetts, aboard the sloop. Yeah, I love a good sloop. The sloop's name was Spray, by the way.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. That's a trivia question.
And his name, Joshua Slocum.
Yeah, I think he left from Boston, didn't he?
He did leave from Boston.
Okay, he's a Boston guy. Yeah, and he wrote a book. You want to guess what the name of it was?
Around the World in 8 Months.
Sailing Alone Around the World.
Well titled.
Apparently. I've never read it. But
I like the titles of old books.
Yeah, that one's
because they're
right
very
to the point.
Direct.
Yeah,
because it'll be like a long title, and then it'll say or, then it'll have this other title below it.
Yeah, well, he died down and trying to go down the. I think he was trying to get in the Orinoco or something.
Oh, in the Orinoco, he tried to go into the Amazon.
Amazon, Orinoco. Anyway, mm-hmm. He didn't make it. Anyways, they think he either got hit by a steamship or a whale or something. They don't know what happened.
Well, let's say the whale.
He disappeared.
Let's say a whale.
Probably went through the Bermuda Triangle.
That's better.
Let's say it was aliens.
He
died under mysterious circumstances, but he was the first. So
19.
Solo.
Whatever
happened to that crazy gal? Was like 14. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
She didn't make it, obviously.
Her parents let her do it. Hey, go ahead,
would
honey.
You let,
No. I wouldn't let myself do it.
I wouldn't let my daughter sail on Lake Carlisle.
I'd let my mother in law do it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, no. No one. No, 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 sir. Not going to happen.
I'd give her a bad compass, too.
Now, here's one for you, Armand. Science is a favorite on this show, This Day in History, because the history of science, you can do a show on that in itself.
I think most of our people would prefer history of sex.
Well, I keep telling you, I keep finding more and more resources that are going to make that possible.
Frank Hertz
experiment is a pillar of quantum mechanics, and it's presented.
Pillar. It's a column.
Yeah.
It's a keystone.
It's a keystone. It's a cornerstone. Anyway, this experiment on quantum mechanics.
You explain this to me?
No, I don't know. Because I cannot. It's presented to the German Physical Society, which at the time, 1914, this is the forefront.
Probably wouldn't have been around much longer.
Right. There is no greater scientific spot.
Probably not.
Than what's going on in Germany at that time.
You see that picture? Where is that? Copenhagen or whatever? All those physicists, Einstein, Heisenberg, Schrodinger, all those guys. They'll never have another. You know, it's amazing. They took one picture. Have you seen that picture?
Like the largest collective IQ ever assembled? Well,
unless Thomas Jefferson was dining alone. Let me see. Where was it? Was that Copenhagen? I don't know where
it seems to me like it'd be Vienna or Switzerland.
Maybe, because Copenhagen wasn't that where Einstein and Bohr met or something? They wrote a play about it. I got to look at all that stuff. But I don't know what this experiment is. I should have looked it up.
You should look it up. Now, I want to move to the next one. This one has a great meaning.
Yeah, look, this should be on
Ocho Man's
show.
It's going to be. Our friends, John O'Kabingian, the host of Armenia Proud. Don't forget, the new movie, The Promise, came out last Friday. Christian Bale and the executive producer of The Promise was a guest on this podcast. Go to armeniaproud.com. But on this date,
the guy who got the credit for executive producer was Kirk Kerkorian.
Yeah.
Which I would assume he should, because he's his money.
Well,
he's dead.
Yeah. But Kirk, God bless him. There's a lot of reasons I'd say God bless Kirk Kerkorian. For selfish reasons.
Why? He's a capitalist.
Yeah. Yeah. He funded a lot of things I liked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the arrest of 250 Armenian intellectuals takes place on April the 24th, 1915, as well as community leaders. And this arrest happens in Istanbul. And this marks the beginning of the Armenian genocide.
Day that, it's commemorated. You know, in fact, I shouldn't even be here today, actually, because we used to miss school and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
yeah, and
know, importantly, special note.
Importantly so, you know.
Yeah.
What would you do on the day? Go to Orthodox service or?
I'd practice my chess openings.
Oh.
Well, Nydorf.
You've made good
variation of Sicilian defense.
Time of it, I
still
guess.
Lost though, and I was ranked though in the state.
Do you think this will ever be recognized by the global community?
No.
Why not?
Apparently, the Turks are even putting like bad reviews of the movie on IMDb.
Oh, I think it was Rotten Tomatoes or one of them.
Yeah.
They basically flooded it.
I'm sure
to the point where
panned it.
It's not going to be able to get a good review just because of the math. That's horrible.
Well,
it's reprehensible. Right.
I remember I was at the 75th anniversary in Chicago and the Turks were there and, you know, we didn't do it there, you know. And then I was at the 100th in L.A.
Yes.
I did the march. We marched from like Hollywood to, like 7 miles.
Oh, really?
To the Turkish embassy. Yeah, I still have my T-shirt.
Well, there's no Turkish embassy in L.A., but there is a consulate.
Well, whatever they had over there.
Yeah.
You know, wherever they make bombs and, you know, hack people's heads off. You know, the dungeon, the Turkish torture chamber. Okay. Anyway, I've spoken my piece. You know where I stand on this.
I do, and I stand with you. And
thank you.
102 years later, I hope some
they're never going to own up to it. Which I don't know why not. I mean,
but you know you need to if you're going to advance, you need to. You know, Germany owned up to all of its things.
We're not asking for money.
No, this is not.
I am.
This is not.
I'd like some money, but
this is not reparations.
Yeah.
But 102 years later. Look, the evidence is overwhelming and continually to deny.
My grandma used to tell me stories.
To deny the events of history.
And if anything, that movie, and I can see why, they took it a little easy, really, on what really, I mean, there were some pretty harrowing things that happened.
You know,
the violence depicted in the movie, if anything, understated.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a little of that goes a long way. I understand that, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, check out Armenia Proud, the latest edition. On the movie The Promise, starring Christian Bale. You can hear the interview with the producer. Wonderful interview. Wonderful work by John O'Kabingian on that interview, along with Chris Lakin, his co-host. 1916, folks, the Irish get in on the act. Not the act of genocide, but the act of rebellion, the Easter Rising in Dublin against British rule, proclamation of an Irish Republic led by James Connolly and Patrick Pearse. And as Armand said, didn't take.
About 500 people got killed. It didn't work out. But yeah, eventually they're going to get it. 1922.
Yeah. They fought for it. Years. 6 years.
Well, they figured, you know, the English were tied up fighting on the continent.
Yeah. 1916, same date. 24th of April.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Go down to the Antarctic, that Trans-Arctic expedition. Well, Ernest Shackleton and five men, they launch a lifeboat from the uninhabited Elephant Island. Great name for an island on the Antarctic.
They got some good names down there.
They do. In the Southern Ocean, which right. there is didn't, a Southern
didn't,
Ocean.
Well, didn't not at that time. That's a new name. Yeah.
There is.
Yeah, now there is. So, I don't even know how many oceans there are. I guess now if you call it the Southern Ocean, you got the Indian, Atlantic, Pacific, Southern, and Arctic.
I think we have five. Yeah, is how I would
that's
answer.
That's how we learned it. But
we learned three, but I would answer we have five oceans.
I had a question on trivia the other night. What's the only continent on all four in all four hemispheres? Remember we had that question, what country is the only country in all four hemispheres?
Only continent. Yeah. So it has to be north, south, east, and west.
Yes.
Eurasia?
That's not a continent.
Well.
Africa.
Oh, it's got the prime meridian on both sides of the equator. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Depends. Yeah, past green. Anyway,
yeah. Well, matter of fact, where is the point where the prime meridian and the equator intersect?
In the Gulf of Guinea.
Okay.
Right off the coast of Africa.
Just off the coast.
Atlantic, yeah.
Okay.
But it's the Gulf of Guinea, I believe.
Gulf of Guinea. Anyway, these guys, they organized this rescue for the crew of the sunken Endurance, which...
Yeah, well, this was Shackleton's fault anyway, I think. Like I said, we've talked about this guy. He had his share of guts, but he wasn't a real good organizer and kind of ran headlong into things. And this is the result. I think it got caught in an ice flow or something, and just crushed the ship.
Crushes it, yeah.
Yeah, which...
Yeah, there's no hull that
But I don't
can...
think anybody died. I think he saved them all.
You can't... The ship's hull can't withstand that kind of pressure. I mean, that is basically tectonic plates of ice moving against you from both sides. It's going to crush a ship.
Well, this guy, the plates in his head weren't quite closed either. But I'll hand it to him. He didn't get along real well with Robert Falcon Scott either. We talked about that, too.
1918, the first ever British.
I better pronounce this. Vieux Bretonneux.
This occurs in France. It's the first tank-to-tank combat battle recorded. Three British Mark IVs meet three German A7Vs.
Yeah, this isn't exactly the Battle of Kursk.
No, and it's not Panzers versus Shermans.
No,
it's quite a different looking tank at this point.
They look like tanks. Well, they're like water tanks. That's what they're called.
Exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, this is definitely a good answer to a trivia question.
Say that again.
Vieux Bretonneux.
So I'm going to guess that is in eastern France.
Northeastern
France.
Front was. Yep. I don't know where. Yeah.
1923. Oh, this is a big one for you, Armand. Das Ich und das Es. Das Ich und das Es is published in Vienna. The paper outlines.
I think that's Ich, right? Das Ich und das Es.
Das Ich und das Es is published. This outlines the theories of the id, the ego, and the super ego.
Well, you know,
published
we all know.
By Sigmund right. Freud.
Yeah,
now,
right.
you've got a lot of super ego.
I don't know about that. I got ego. I don't know about super ego.
Do you have id?
No.
You don't have id?
Id. Don't have it. No got it.
No got it. What do you make?
He's all wet anyway. I don't believe any of this crap.
You don't believe in the penis envy?
No, and all that stuff. He's out of his
Everything
mind.
Comes back
Oedipus
to sex.
Complex.
The Oedipus complex, yeah, yes.
I think the guy's just a pervert, that's all.
It's very likely.
Okay.
Could have been.
Right. I think his daughter was smarter than
he was. Made a good trade out of it.
I'm a Jungian.
I got a biography on Jung
Adler.
I should bring you.
Yeah, I got too many books to read already.
Yeah, I owe you like five books now.
Let's have it. $5.
I know. And before we do birthdays on this date, lest you forget, the Nazis persecuted.
This is weird. But
just the Jews. No, they had it in for the Jehovah's Witnesses
Well, they weren't going to fight. You know, I mean, that's what they. You know, they don't want. They were against war and they didn't sign up.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, our friend John Ratz. You know,
We'll get to him
Johnny
later.
Johnny Ratz.
We'll get to him later.
Yeah, I got a few things to tell you about him that I don't think you know.
I know quite a bit about him.
Oh, really?
I do.
Anyway, Joe Ratz.
Yeah. So the Nazi Germany, because it is Nazi Germany at this point in 1933, April the 24th, the persecution of the Jehovah's Witnesses begins. The shutting down of the Watchtower Society office in Magdeburg
occurs. I guess
occurs.
The Watchtower is still their magazine, right?
Yes, it still is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have a subscription to that.
I just thought they knocked on the wrong guy's door.
Get it online.
Can you imagine you're a Jehovah's Witness and you knock on Bormann or Goebbels' door?
Go to the SS headquarters.
Ugh.
Like to join
Did
up?
You know Prince was a Jehovah's Witness?
Oh, really? Well, yeah, what the hell is he doing drugs?
Well, no, here's the thing. The part, you should look into that a little bit.
I don't want to look at it. The guy's stupid.
Very
talented.
Well after he became famous, Armand, he still went door-to-door in Minneapolis.
Okay. Well,
can you imagine?
But, I mean, why are you doing drugs?
I
don't do drugs.
Armand, I can't answer
just
that.
Just say no. Right, Nancy?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
As Nancy told us, just say no.
All right.
All right. Who was born on this fine day? I start in 1581. Where might you start?
I don't know. Well, 1581 is fine. I don't have anybody before that. I don't know who this guy is.
Well, it's Vincent de Paul, the French priest and saint. And you probably know his charitable organizations today, St. Vincent de Paul's.
All right.
You've never heard of St. Jude's.
I don't give
You've never heard of St. Vincent de Paul.
I've heard of it, I guess.
Of course you have.
Okay.
1743, Edmund Cartwright, the clergyman and an engineer and the inventor of the power loom.
I suppose that's useful.
That's useful.
People who wear clothes.
It will.
I prefer to.
It skyrockets the.
You know, when you guys are all gone, You trundle around here naked.
I'm sure you do.
Yes.
That's the close.
Admire my body.
The closed circuit television has told some harrowing tales.
It's freeing.
Yeah. Anyway, well, the power loom takes the British Isles and puts it into the textiles business. This is the reason why.
This is
the reason why Nottingham is the city of lace. And
we shear sheep over there.
And that's why the sheep industry is huge. That's why other towns all the way up to Scotland with the that's why they became so big in that industry, the power loom.
It has nothing to do with government.
No, it doesn't. No. Okay. You make one good invention and off you go. Anthony.
Trollope.
Yep.
I like him. One of my,
I thought
one
you
my
would.
Favorites, but a good.
I thought
you
would like him.
He's funny, man. I like him. Very satirist and essayist. I think I have complete works on my Kindle.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I would write it. For 99 cents or something, you get it. It's like.
Oh, very good.
Get it.
Well, check
it.
Out.
Barchester Towers is a good one.
Yeah, you might check out. Our link to Amazon.com or even Audible.com for this one and get you some Anthony Trollope. I mean, 99
He's
cents.
He's funny. I like him. I like his essays, too.
Anyway, born in this date, 1815. Now, a week ago, we mentioned the writer Isaac Dennison.
Yeah.
Who goes by, of course, a different name. Karen Ann Blixen. On this date in 1887.
She went by the syphilis patient.
She did.
For a while.
Yeah. On this date.
No, she didn't have it.
On this date, 1887, Dennis Finch Hatton was born, and that is the gentleman portrayed by Robert Redford in the movie Out of Africa, who would be Blixen's basically husband, but
Cicero?
Not husband. Yeah, right.
Chis bio.
Yeah, yeah. He would come and go from Karen's house in Kenya.
Yeah,
County.
But he didn't give her sif. Husband did that.
He did not. 1904, William de Kooning.
Hey, listen, if you want to look at something that looks absolutely like nothing ever, what this guy thought a woman looked like, what a pervert he was. He must have been reading Freud.
I don't know.
You seen the woman?
Yeah,
That's what you think a woman looks like?
No, it's abstract.
Okay.
I enjoy the colors.
Captured her essence.
I enjoy the colors.
I got to admit, about a month ago, we had a trivia contest, and they're putting paintings up there, and the only one I missed was
de Kooning.
De Kooning. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I kind of looked him up, and I still hate it.
1905,
trash.
Robert Penn Warren, born.
Now, this guy was, well, obviously, All the King's Men is
All
a big
the King's
one.
Men.
And he was poet. I think he was first poet laureate. We didn't have one until, like, 1949, 50.
Well, very
so
good.
That, you ever asked that trivia question?
That's a good
Robert
one.
Robert Penn Warren.
Robert Penn Warren, yeah. All the King's Men.
Starring Broderick Crawford.
About the
best picture.
The great Louisiana politics.
Well, yeah, obviously it wasn't his name, but we're talking about the Kingfish.
Yes.
Huey Long.
1930, Richard Donner, an actor, director, producer. Some big blockbusters he's had over the years.
Yeah, he's made some good movies.
1934, born for who knows what time.
She's going to be in my movie, I hope.
Yeah, and Armand has actually casted this lady, Shirley MacLaine, to be in a project called...
Can't wait to meet her.
...called Men of Granite. Hopefully it's going to get made. Hopefully
Shirley's on board.
...will be alive. Yeah, hopefully she'll be in this lifetime. Do you have a favorite MacLaine movie?
Yeah, I liked her in Some Came Running. With Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. I like that movie.
She was in The Apartment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that
but
yesterday.
I guess in terms of endearment is her, you know, she won the Academy Award for that one.
That's a good, well, two giants. Her and Nicholson. On screen together.
Yeah, he won also for that.
I mean.
Yeah, Deborah Winger was good too
The fact that Winger, and who else do we have in there?
I remember who played her husband in that.
Yeah, but who was the professor that she has the affair with?
Oh, God, I don't know. I've only seen it once, actually. It's saw it in the theaters.
The scene of Nicholson and her at the beach and the Corvette.
Driving and,
fantastic. Okay. She comes into the restaurant. She has to take the wig off. It's ruined. Jack walks in, simply licks it.
Well, her scene where she's pissed off about her daughter not getting pain medication, that was a good – that probably won it for her right there.
1940, Sue Grafton, American crime author.
Never read any of her stuff.
G is for this, H is for that.
She threw the alphabet yet?
I think so.
What the hell's X for? Xenophobe?
Yeah, maybe. 1941, the Australian English guitarist and composer John Williams.
You already made that mistake.
Yep. Uh-huh. 1942, Barbara Streisand. Happy birthday, Babs. My cousins went to see her at the Staples Center a couple months ago.
I wish somebody'd staple her lips shut.
Why don't you forget the politics for a second and concentrate on the performance?
She's still married to what's Brolin?
I think
James
so.
Brolin.
Well, she's got a nice place in Bel Air.
I mean,
when you go up, I think she's on the same street that the Reagan estate was on.
Oh.
I mean, that is...
I'd rather go to the Reagan estate.
That is...
But anyway, yeah, she won the Academy Award. Well, she shared it, actually. I mean, they didn't share. They tied with... Katharine Hepburn, Lion and Winner, 68.
Oh, yeah.
She won for Funny Girl.
She won for Funny Girl?
Yeah, I think that's the only tie, women, for Best Actress.
Oh.
The tie of men was Frederick March and Wallace Beery. 1931.
All right. Tony Visconti, born in 1944, great American record producer, musician, singer. A lot of good 80s music, even at night. You will find Visconti, the producer of...
I've heard the name.
You should have.
All right.
A fine Armenian, Eric Bogosian, 1953. He now is starring really quite a meaty role in Showtime's Billions. It's a great series.
He's
with Paul Giamatti, and he plays sort of one of the bad guys, but one of the bad guys who may not be so bad.
Oh.
Really?
If you're going to be a villain.
He's a big Wall Street guy, though,
black,
so you'll love him.
Okay,
you'll love him.
Well, good. As long as he's a raider, corporate raider.
He fits the bill. 1964, Cedric the Entertainer born, the comedian actor.
Who's the guy that died? Was that Bernie Mac?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cedric's one of the original kings of comedy.
All right. He's pretty funny.
Oh, very funny. Very funny.
I don't know who's funnier than this next guy. I have no idea who the hell this guy is.
Jimin Hansu?
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen him in a bunch. You've seen Blood Diamond, Gladiator.
Oh, the big guy?
Very, very.
From Benin.
Benin. Yeah, he's Beninese. Very, very good actor, I think. And also very, very unique looking.
The capital? Porto Novo.
Oh, Newport, huh?
Yeah. I think so. It's Benin.
Creative name. There's your birthdays for today, folks. Now, we got a lot of things on the events today, just lots of little things. Some that are going to get Armand really ticked off, such as Winston Churchill is knighted by Queen Elizabeth II on this date in 1953. He got knighted early. Boy, she became queen and he became a knight. That happened quickly. 67.
Why would that piss me off?
I thought you were not a huge fan of Churchill.
Not during the war. Well, I think. I'm a great statesman, I agree with a lot of what, I mean, his economic policy is right on. I think he's kind of a warmonger, that's all. And a lot of people died because his policies, although FDR helped out, but...
They all helped out, Armand.
He was kind of, anyway.
They all helped out. Plenty of blame to go around.
All right.
You want to blame on a body count?
Well, it could have been avoided.
There's plenty of people who can step up and take some responsibility. 1967, the first person ever to die during a space mission occurs.
Right.
Occurs, we have to be specific here, during a mission.
Right. It was not in space. Although I think that there, since there have been a couple guys that did die in space.
Right.
But this guy landed very hard.
He was. And here's the reason he landed very hard. Cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov, he dies aboard Suez 1.
Soyuz.
Soyuz?
Yeah,
Soyuz. Okay. When the Soyuz 1 parachute on reentry.
It means union, by the way.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It fails to open. Now, either way, it would have happened. The Russians, Soviets at the time,
yeah,
they did reentry over their territory and they landed on land.
Right.
Americans always were in the ocean for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, it's a little softer.
It's a little softer, but honestly, not that much softer.
Yeah, but this guy, I mean, apparently this whole thing, they did several tests. They knew there's like 203 things wrong with this. They had documented, and they kind of knew it was going to. And if he didn't go, Gagarin was going to go.
Oh.
Gagarin, in fact, volunteered. And this guy knew it was a death trap. And he said, no, I don't want him going because I know this is a one-way trip.
Damn.
Yeah. So he said he didn't really say. Yeah. It's like we can't have a national hero die.
Here's the thing. And he made it back to the point where all that has to happen is the parachute works.
Yeah.
And he avoids 203 pitfalls.
Yep. Well.
Oh.
The 204th got him.
Brutal.
It's not what we don't know. It's what we don't know. We don't know.
The unknown. Yes. Unknowns.
Yes.
Thank you.
Or who is? You know, Josh Billings said it even better. It ain't what you don't know. It's what you know that ain't right.
That's true. That's very good. Now, here's somebody who knew something, and he said it, and he said it on this date back in 1967. I'm talking about American General William Westmoreland. The enemy had gained –
put his foot in his mouth a lot.
Yeah. Well, at a news conference, he states that the enemy, and I quote, had gained support in the United States.
They said that we have met the enemy and they are us. Remember that, was that Pogo? I mean, they're thinking of the quote is we have met the enemy and they are ours.
They are ours.
I think that's Decatur, right?
But instead, it comes out.
But isn't that the Pogo or one of those?
They have met the enemy and they are us.
They are us. That's pretty funny.
Oh well,
saw a T-shirt with that on there.
He Westmoreland, not to be outdone by Cronkite, says the enemy has gained support in the United States that gives him hope that he can win politically, that which he cannot win militarily.
Well, we can always hope.
There might have been a kernel of truth in what Westmoreland said there.
A quantum.
There might have been a kernel. Now here's another mission that occurs in 1980 and had this one.
Oh, that was by the way, it was Oliver Hazard Perry.
Oliver Hazard
hero,
Perry.
Hero of Lake Erie.
Yeah, Lake Erie. Great Lakes.
The enemy and they are ours, not Decatur. Okay.
So in 1980, this is I'd love to see more stuff on this because.
Oh yeah, I remember this more. I was on my way to school.
Had this succeeded, the course of American history, I think, would have been drastically different. Drastically different. Yeah, I do, because someone's not elected in November if this succeeds.
Yeah, it would have been drastic, right?
Well,
our economy would have continued floundering.
I didn't make an aspersion as to which way. I just said different.
Yeah. You're sneering on the inside. I know you.
Well, you think what you want. Make your assumptions. But eight servicemen.
When's the comment about trickle down economics, which is not a term that was ever used?
What does that have to do with eight?
Because what you're implying is that Carter would have been reelected, which I think.
He would have been.
You're way off base right there.
No.
His popularity was at its nadir.
This succeeds.
What, eight guys? Well, there are a couple of helicopters are going to go in there and take these people.
Had this succeeded.
Ridiculous on the face of it.
Well, it got bogged down in a whole bunch of problems. But eight servicemen die in what's called Operation Eagle Claw. This was in an attempt to end the Iranian hostage crisis.
He almost did. Almost got everybody killed.
And it all went wrong in the desert outside of Tehran.
Yeah, it's just a shame eight people had to die. Eight of our brave men had to die for this ridiculous.
Carter took a shot.
Who came up with this?
I don't know. But
I'm not even going to blame Carter. Some idiot Defense Department.
The one thing I've read about this states that it should have been just a Delta mission. Instead, because it was. Every branch of the service somehow got in on this, and they should have known. They should have known that what they were using equipment-wise would not have worked out in the desert, and it did not.
Well, I'm sure there's a book on this. I probably ought to read it actually, because that is interesting to me.
And this is April, and I mean,
but I still don't think he'd have won the election.
Oh, come on!
No way.
You get the hostages out.
The economy was terrible, man.
It was terrible.
The hostages got this guy out.
It was terrible.
It didn't help, but the economy was horrible. 20% inflation.
Yes, it was. It was bad.
Which, by the way, since, you know, if we want to be completely, I want to be completely apolitical here. I don't like Trump devaluing the dollar. You hear what he said about that?
Yes, I did.
The dollar's too strong. No, it isn't. Keep it strong. Anyway, I don't like that shit.
Well, that's the mantra you're always going to get when you want to drive exports.
Well, the thing, yeah, and the corporations love Wall Street likes a weak dollar, but it's not good for the working American.
No, it's not.
Which this guy purports to be defending.
Be the defender of. Well, no, he is not.
Don't screw that one up.
Not in this case.
Yeah, and don't spend $1 trillion on infrastructure, damn it.
1990, another good scientific date in history.
Yeah, that's a biggie, yeah.
The Hubble is launched from the bay of the Space Shuttle Discovery. Now, of course, it wouldn't work at first, but they got it fixed. But on this date, STS-31, Hubble Discovery, they put the big old magnifying glass out there and really changed the course of scientific history.
No, I got to agree. You can't discount what this has done for science and, you know, great leap. Although, you know, now these ground-based telescopes are doing a pretty damn good job, too.
It's amazing.
But once they get that, once they get the web out. Yeah. But here's the problem with the web. They screw that up. It's all over. Now, that's a million kilometers.
You were telling me. There's no fixing it because it's at the, say that again,
the Lagrangian point number two. There's five. Okay. This is at point number two.
And that's the point where there's
between the Earth and the sun.
There's no gravitational pull from either.
Right. It just
I shouldn't say that.
Well, they offset each other.
We just drag it along. We have equilibrium at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever you want to call it, inertia. But anyway, and that goes wrong. There's no going out and fixing that. It's all over.
And finally, for events today.
But I can't wait. Late next year, I believe, is when it's supposed to be put up there.
Let me tell you.
That's
I have a feeling the returns on this, should it work?
We may find life with that thing.
Well, here's the thing. Armon?
Yeah?
We'll make a wager.
A Playboy like Stephen Hawking and Kip Thorne?
Sure. They will find radio signals almost immediately with it.
Well, I don't know if that's a radio detector. I'm not sure. It's visible spectrum. It's not a radio telescope.
Oh, it's just visible spectrum.
Or infrared. I don't think it's a radio. Those radio telescopes are all on the Earth because that doesn't matter about the atmosphere.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, because extremely low frequency.
But
it's going to go through anyway.
Kip Thorne and Hawking. They bet a subscription to Playboy, but they don't show the bush anymore.
Yeah, no, they went back.
Oh, did they?
They've gone back to nude.
I'll do it then.
They've cleaned it up on the internet.
We'll do something else. Yeah. Maybe a porn channel.
Okay, how are we going to know if they've got life? How are they going to know
if they've got life? They can see these atmospheres, and they're going to look for, like, pollution like we have. That could.
How do you know what's caused by humans?
It's not caused by it, but they know that some of this stuff doesn't exist naturally. Some of these emissions, apparently, are not in natural atmospheres.
Okay.
Supposedly. I don't know. Yeah, they think they can find, you know, signals like that.
Okay. What if they find just like a planet that's a big sort of, let's just say for lack of a better term, the whole thing's a swamp, and it's got a lot of vegetative life on it.
Well, that
are
that
they going
to
be able to pick that up?
They're going to be looking for atmospheres. That's the main thing. And if they can say that, then I don't know if they can actually say for sure there'd be life, but if it could harbor life, not like Europa, where, you know, okay, there's an ocean in there somewhere, and there's some thiols, I think they're called, and some sulfur and phosphorus and all that stuff, and we've got the building blocks of life. These guys can, once they see an atmosphere, say, hey, wait, this is 20% oxygen, 70% nitrogen. This is like the Earth.
Right. Right,
there's probably life on this thing.
So the building—it's beyond building blocks.
They're going to see actual. They're going to, you know, hopefully, but and then they can supposedly they're going to be able to. They think that some of these like some of these civilizations are like guarding themselves with the transits and stuff like
there's
that.
There's an
hiding
old,
them. In fact,
well, no, hold
I
on.
Think Hawking wants us to hide ourselves.
There's an older show that I did with one of the guys here, Jeff Cooper, about, you know, what's the likelihood of life being out there.
The Drake equation.
Or there's a Kashnev scale. Basically, what they say is a really advanced civilization would do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They would retain
three levels.
All of the sunlight from their star.
They're using their star to energize their, you know, and that's number two, I think. Number three is they use the whole galaxy.
They use the whole galaxy would be, it goes from we're going to contain everything from our star to we're going to contain everything.
We're like a zero.
From our galaxy.
I think one is somewhere around they can harness everything in their planet or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or two is their
Yeah, this guy. We're not even up to a one.
We're a zero.
We're not even close to a one.
Yeah, stage zero. Yeah.
So therefore, because all the light and energy is harnessed,
They think they can detect that.
The star would be non-visible.
Right, or something
and
like that.
And if they were able to do it to the galaxy, that would be non-visible.
Well, they think this can detect that too.
They should be, because what contains the light has to be some degree artificial.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's, supposedly this web is
so
gonna...
all their power needs, they just don't let any energy escape, which is really fascinating when you think about it.
I wish we could do that.
Finally, in 2005, Pope...
Finally.
This is my last event. Scratch the last two.
Oh.
It's typos.
Yeah, sorry with me.
Yeah. Pope number 265, who many believed would be the last pope for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't have a problem with that either. Why wouldn't he be? Anyway.
First of all, there's more than one pope. Let's get that straight right off the bat. Yeah. Do you know who the pope of the Armenian Orthodox is right now?
I don't think we have a pope.
You don't?
We have like, archbishop or something.
Well, the Greek Orthodox do. The Coptics
do.
They
call him a pope, though.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them. Out of the six branches of Catholic Christianity, there's at least two other popes. They just don't get any attention. Anyway.
Do they deserve it?
Well, they don't represent 2 billion people. That's part of the reason. But on this date, 2005, papal little conclave, they send up some white
College
smoke.
College of Cardinals.
It's a conclave.
Whatever you want to call it.
No,
Is it the College of Cardinals?
The College of Cardinals meets in the conclave.
Oh, wait, well, you're the Catholic.
I am, and I'll thank you to listen.
Why don't you convert to Judaism?
No, why?
Because they're smarter than this guy was okay. And right away, I was looking this guy up. His father was
anti-Nazi,
by the way.
Yeah, he was.
And this guy, all right,
this guy was pressed
into the Hitler Youth.
I know he was pressed.
Didn't show up at the meetings, which probably would have got him killed.
That was dangerous.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, Joseph Ratzinger becomes pope on this date in April 24th.
I want him back. Let's get rid of this punk.
And Joseph Ratzinger took the name Pope Benedict XVI.
Good name, too.
It had been a while since there had been a Benedict.
Where did that come from?
From St. Francis of Assisi.
No, came from Francois.
No.
Mary Queen of Scots' husband.
It did not.
All right. Let's get to some deaths here.
Let's do it. 1731, I have Daniel Defoe.
Yeah, I like Daniel Defoe. I mean, I've read, I guess we all have, I don't know, Adventures of Robinson Crusoe, but which was based, of course, on a real character. Don't ask me what his name, I forgot. I'll come up with it, though. Anyway, Defoe was more of a politician, an economist, this guy, and a spy.
That's the interesting part.
Yeah, they sent him to Scotland. His name? Hadley, I think the guy's name. The Chancellor of the Exchequer sent him to Scotland to, pretty much make sure that he was putting out pamphlets and check out on the opposition, because they wanted the Union. 1707 was the Union. And he was there to make sure everything went,
swimmingly, accordingly.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Without a hitch.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I've got one other, because we have one that we want to talk about a little bit. Estee Lauder. I never knew this was an actual person.
Yeah,
I just thought it was the name of a brand.
Right. I remember when she died.
But she was an American businesswoman who, of course, co-founded Estee Lauder, and she passed away.
I got several.
2004.
Okay. Well, damn it. This was a birthday. I guess I got a couple of birthdays I missed. William Castle. Born in 1914. I know you don't know who he is.
I do not.
This guy, he's the guy that did all these cheapo horror movies, like House on Haunted Hill.
Oh, cool.
Where the skeleton came out at a time, into the audience.
Oh, very cool.
Called it Emergio. And then he had another one, like The Tingler.
Did he invent Smell-O-Vision?
No, he didn't have that. That was John Waters, I think. But this guy had another one. It's like you're watching it and he zap your chair and give you electric shock, but like a vibrating thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And then, of course, he
full immersion.
And then he had $1,000 policy. Everybody that saw his movies, you get $1,000 policy with Lloyds of London, just in case you die of fright during the film.
That's a good piece of promotion.
Yeah.
I like that.
He was like, remember like a slap shot where they had the ambulance going around?
Circle around. Put on the siren.
It costs you more if I run the siren. Get some blood in here. Anyway, and then a guy you would think, Admiral Raeder of the German Navy.
Oh, yeah, Raeder.
He was born 1876, Eric Raeder. Got in a big fight with Hitler because, you know, he thought that they should have more capital ships, i.e. like the Bismarck.
And the Tirpitz, yeah.
Well, those didn't work out very well. Anyway, no, I'm kind of – Hitler was right on this one, I think.
They all got sunk.
Get the damn U-boats.
The Nisenau?
Yeah.
I think
Scharnhorst.
The Scharnhorst. Which one got – the Grafspee. That got laid up with Grafspee.
The River Plate, yeah.
Down in South America.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was – what's his name? Langsdorff's fault. Go out and fight it out, you pussy. Don't scuttle the ship in the anyway. No,
that's bad.
If you could kill yourself anyway, which he did, why don't you go out there, go fight it?
Go fight. You never know. You might get a lucky shot.
Yeah, like the Bismarck.
Like the Bismarck did.
So anyway, Raeder, he was after the Battle of the Barents Sea, which is another capital ship. They were supposed to attack, you know, the raiding convoys, and they just got sunk. So anyway, Karl Dönitz took over. Dönitz. And they both got tried at Nuremberg, and they both went to jail, and they still hated each other and were fighting in jail even.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, so anyway.
But okay, why try Dönitz for crimes against...
Well, why try Raeder? I mean, he's just doing what he was supposed to, too. Because they're Nazis, that's all. Okay. You gotta get him. They let this guy go after like 10 years because he was sick. Dönitz got out, too. Yeah, they apparently couldn't stand each other even in jail.
Too much.
I'd like to have been there and listen to them if I could understand German.
Oh, can you imagine?
But 1916 birthday, Lou Thesz.
Wrestler, right?
Damn right, wrestler. Hooker. Not a hooker. Yeah. He was a hooking wrestler. Now, there's a difference. Now, you know, like these guys in MMA these days, they tap out and all this.
Right.
That's the whole thing about hooking. This guy's a catch wrestler.
Okay.
You hook a guy, that means you break something. You don't give him a chance to tap out. And Lou Thesz was a master of hooking. And I've got a couple of his tapes. Good stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'll break your arm. I'd like to apply a couple of these to you, if you don't mind.
No,
he had a step-over toe hold, which is agony. But anyway, he's born 1916.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, he's a St. Louis guy.
Oh, really?
Well, he wasn't born here, but he moved here like 3 years ago. Okay. Got in with Sam Muchnick and everything.
Yeah.
Greatest wrestler of all time, pro, they say. And then they gave it to, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Sam Muchnick, we used to have him on the radio all the time. Back in my radio days.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fun. Yeah. Oh, he was fun.
Mickey Gargiola.
Well, Mickey Gargiola called in one day. I remember this distinctly. They were saying, you know, dead or alive. And they said, Mickey Gargiola. And everyone, dead.
Oh, he's a well. I don't know.
Well, Mickey called in. He goes, "I'm not dead. I'm here."
Good for Mickey. Yeah. Mickey, is he dead now?
Yes.
Okay.
But Mickey was also there the night that Toasted Ravioli was founded.
We've heard that story. Anyway, Lou Thesz. They named him the greatest resident. Then they gave it to Nature Boy Ric Flair. Lou Thesz would break his face.
Good.
We'd hook him.
Good. I like it.
Yeah.
Lou All Thesz. Right. Any more, Armand, before we get to our closer today?
Let's have that. Yeah, Konarov. We already talked about him.
Yeah.
He was the guy in the.
Yep.
How about the Woolworth Building was dedicated in 1913.
I did see that.
I don't know why you didn't put that.
Well,
that
that's
Cass Gilbert.
It's a big,
I like that building.
It's a big event.
Neo Gothic.
The building. Building looks the part today.
Yeah, it's still there. It was the tallest in the world till the Chrysler Building came along.
Yeah, so it had a good, 19-year run?
Yeah, 1913 to
which for New York City, that's a good run if you're
making it
2 decades. Well, but also, it's the architecture of the Woolworth that is
looks great.
so distinctive. And when you think of that era of Manhattan, what people are thinking of are two things, the Woolworth and the Chrysler.
They were good ones.
Because the Empire State...
That was 32, I think.
32, the Empire State.
31. It was 1931.
Architecturally?
Blah.
Yeah, blah.
But Art Deco or something.
The Chrysler's got it over the Empire State.
Yeah, that's Art Deco. I don't know what the Chrysler built.
Yeah. All right.
And then, you know, of course, we got the Le Corbusier stuff.
Right, which is just
birdcage stuff.
Bland. All right, 1974, passing of this gentleman.
Why don't you order another one and make it an even half a dozen?
I don't want to make a pig out of myself.
Herbie!
Yes, Cook.
I thought you had this queued up.
Just the heads and nose, double malts, dies like a dog. Unquote.
Goes to salute, hits himself in the eye.
Kiss you.
Nonsense.
Well, I'll prove it to you. Hey, soldier.
Not a penny.
Oh, now, come on. Herbie, did I ask you for any money? You got that look in your eye. Oh, no, listen. My crap game, didn't you? You gave me a lesson, that's all I know. Oh, do me a favor, loan me $50. Schmitty, I can't. I can't lend you $50.
Oh, yes, you can.
No, I can't. All I got is $40, that's all.
All right, give me the $40 and you owe me $10.
Okay, I owe you $10.
That's right.
How come I owe you $10?
Well, what did I ask you for?
$50.
And how much did you give me?
$40.
So you owe me $10.
That's right.
But you owe me 40.
Now, don't change the subject.
I'm not changing the subject. You're trying to change my finances. Come on now, give me my $40.
All right, there's your $40.
Okay.
Now, give me the $10 you owe me.
I'm paying you on account.
On account?
On account, I don't know how I owe it to you.
That's the way you feel about it? It's the last time I'll ever ask you for the loan of $50.
Wait a minute, Smitty. How can I loan you $50 now? All I have is 30.
Well, give me the 30 and you owe me 20.
Okay, this is getting worse all the time. First I owe him 10, now I owe him 20.
Well, why do you run yourself into debt?
I'm not running in, you're pushing me.
I can't help it if you can't handle your finances. I do all right with my money.
Hey, you're doing all right with mine too.
I asked you for a loan of $50, you gave me 30. So you owe me $20. 20 and 30 is 50.
No. 25 and 25 is 50. All right, here's your $50.
Okay. Give me back the 20 you owe me. Fine guy. I'll loan a pal $50.
How can I loan you 50? All I got now is 10.
Oh, wait a minute. To show you that I'm your pal, you want to double that?
Go ahead. See you later.
I don't want that kind of money. On the up and up. Hold it. Now take a number. Any number at all from 1 to 10. And don't tell me.
I got it.
Is the number odd or even?
Even.
Is the number between 1 and 3?
No.
Between 3 and 5?
No. I think I got,
Between 5 and 7?
Yeah.
Number 6.
Right.
How did he do that?
How did he do that?
That was a good take, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, Bud Abbott, yeah.
I mean, look, we could have played Who's on First. You've all heard it.
Yeah, everybody's there. I like that.
That loan
Buck bit. Privates. You know,
God, that's
Abbott,
good.
At least when they started, you know, in that day and age, the straight man got 60% and the foil or whatever, you know, the funny guy got 40. They that started like that, but they went to, you know, because Costello was definitely very obviously popular, so they went 50-50. But then Lou later on wanted 60%, and Abbott never forgave him for that. Mm. That's why they fought a lot. But here's an interesting story, because they're fighting all the time. Well, Errol Flynn, back then, this is the kind of guy Errol Flynn is. Back then, you know, these guys would the stars would all lend each other their films. You know, just so they could view it back then. You know, we didn't have video or anything.
Sure.
You put it on the projector.
Yeah,
and
go to the house, put it on.
Right. So Lou's daughter or son or whatever maybe it was his son before he died. You know, Lou's son died and he wore that bracelet around his because he drowned. But they had some kids over the party for somebody's birthday party, and they want to watch Adventures of Robin Hood, which everybody loved. Everybody wanted. It's my favorite movie of all time. So sure, Errol Flynn lent it to him. So in the middle of the film, he spliced in some porn.
No.
And of course, Costello thought it was Abbott doing it, so they didn't talk to each other for months. You know, it was
Errol spliced in
Errol
a stag.
Errol Flynn did it. Yeah, a stag movie. Real. Right in the middle of it.
From circa 1930.
Whatever. Yeah, you can imagine what that was
God.
Like. You know. So anyway, that's Errol Flynn's sense of humor. But Bud Abbott, and he was kind of a boozer, and he died. You know, after Costello died, they tried to make it with, I think his name was Cristillo or whatever. Candy something. But that didn't work out too well. Oh, but they did the animated show, which is pretty funny, actually. And Bud Abbott did his own voice.
Oh, yeah.
In the 60s. You know,
yeah.
They're pretty funny. They're not bad.
Well, Bud Abbott, rest in peace, died on this date, 1974.
Groucho Marx said he was the greatest straight man of all time. Even better than Margaret Dumont,
I
guess. That's
saying a lot. Well, because Margaret Dumont's a woman, so.
Hey, there's no such thing.
No, for Groucho.
Don't be a sexist.
For Groucho, there was.
Yeah, for everybody there.
For most certainly there was. All right. That'll do it for April 24th. Thanks for tuning in, folks. And don't forget, if you'd like, and we suggest you do, subscribe, and subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. And please like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. For Armand Kachikian and my producers, Brian Crocken, Andrew Allen, I'm Tony Hubert. When April 25th rolls around, we'll be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.